Hello, and welcome to episode 116 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, the creator of the Red Mask and Mars, and joining me for this week's step into the digital realm of comics are the creator of the epic superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Our very own Lawnmower Man, which I think I've called him that before, and the man who I just put off with my intro, it's Mr. Tony Esmond.
Call me Mr. Susan.
Mr. Susan, it's going to be an outtake. So, how are we, lads? Are we all right?
Good.
Yeah, all right.
Good. We're in a good mood at the moment because we just had a fantastic chat with our guest, which we're going to.
He was very good.
Yes. Old Christina Major from Spider Forest and Sombulus. We had a brilliant chat with her, so that could be coming up in the next 5 minutes or so.
I've got to tell you, last week's guests, Bryony and Claire, are still making me laugh. I'm still chuckling.
Yeah.
they were really good, weren't they, as well, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they sent us a picture of their bottle of wine that they've been drinking.
Yeah.
Donkey wine.
The donkey wine. Please listen to episode 115 to find out more about donkey wine. We talk about the highbrow and intellectual subjects on this show. a really good show last week, I think.
Yeah, really funny. Yeah.
What am I talking about? Definitely. Every show's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
And part of that's due to our friends at Comic House, who help us every week keep the lights on. Oh, look at that segue.
Here at ACP HQ.
Towers.
Do we have an HQ or is it Towers?
We could have both. Fuck
yeah. Both.
Our HQ has a tower. That's all you need to know.
And a
dungeon.
Yeah.
But no, the great guys at Comic House help us out each week, and they're our sponsor. Yes, we do have a sponsor. And Comic House is the place where small press creators can listen and sell their books to the masses. There's lots going on for Comic House at the moment. If you're a creator out there who wants to join with Comic House, it's easy to add your work to their database. And if you just love small press comics, it's easier to purchase titles from your favourite indie creators. Can't say further than that. If you head on over to the website, you'll see awesome titles from all over, including such works as 2000 AD and beyond. There's some IDW books as well, if I remember correctly.
Nice one.
So if you check out comichouse.com to find out more, and if you're a creator who hasn't claimed your creator profile on the site yet, please do it, because the app, the beta launch of the app, is going live very soon.
Yeah, it looms.
It looms.
I think they're at Thought Bubble as well, aren't they?
Oh, you beautiful man. I was just about... Kick. You got in there before me. Not the first time. They will also be at Thought Bubble this weekend. And as Pete tells me, hopefully with a demo version to show people of the app and how it works.
Ah, brilliant.
I think.
Not only that, but they'll be selling copies of their brilliant anthology series, Comic House, issues 1 to 8. And they'll be giving away badges. If you wonder where they are, their next door to Comic House creator Dave Cook of Card Shark Comics. So that's
nice.
Find
okay.
Them. So we'll probably have some shout outs later for some Thought Bubble peeps.
I've got to pick up Vessels 1 and 2. They've been doing absolutely amazing reviews, getting really good reviews.
I've not seen that yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Right. So, yeah. Yes, thank you, Comic House. As always. But this week, we decided to talk about webcomics a bit. Now, this is a subject that Tony and myself, we always say we know nothing about.
And in fact, we messaged Dan about that about half an hour before the show began, saying it's over to you, Dan. And he went, okay.
Did not send an animated GIF of someone doing something.
Yeah, Superman doing something.
It had to be comic-related.
Yeah. But no, it was a great chat with Christina Major of Spider Forest, the comic book webcomic collective that we talk a bit. We've talked a little bit about them on the show before, haven't we? But I think in this chat we definitely go more into it, and it's fascinating. There's also some fascinating chat about the US convention scene as well.
So, yeah, it's kind of quite eye-opening.
Yeah. So rather than us spoil it for you, let's just put it in here, shall we?
Mm.
So here you go, folks. Here's a chat with Christina Major. Okay, this week we're joined by the artist and writer of the world-hopping adventure webcomic Sombulus. She successfully kickstarted her first two graphic novels, which is a feat in itself these days, and is looking to do a third next year, I believe. And not only that, but she also goes to a whole crap ton of American conventions too. So if all that isn't enough, she's also a member and admin of the Spider Forest webcomic collective, which we've talked about a few times on this show. So
yeah,
we have to ask where she finds the time to do all of this. But before that, it's our pleasure to welcome Christina Major to the show. Hello.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Hello.
She's been on quite a few podcasts in the past, so as you can tell, she's very professional, because that introduction was better than ours.
We need that, really, don't we?
There'd be a harsh contrast to our unprofessionalism.
We're glad to have you on, Christina.
Yeah.
Yes. To hear from you.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Good to be here.
All the way from sunny LA.
Yes. Sometimes it's sunny. Right now it's not, but most of the time it's sunny.
It's raining here.
It's miserable here. Well, in the UK, all our listeners are from all over the world, so where we're talking right now, it's miserable. And that's not just because of us. But where do you find the time to do all of that stuff, by the way?
I do, like, demonic rituals to summon energy from different places, so I can.
This went weird early, didn't it?
I have no idea, man. I am a morning person. I get up very early, and I try to do that. I'm also a full-time freelance graphic designer, so my schedule is a little more flexible, which works very much to my advantage when I'm trying to crank out lots of pages and also manage things for Spider Forest, and do podcasts like this.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah.
Because things like admin for a webcomic collective, surely that's not just a little job. There's quite a lot of work that goes into that, isn't there?
Oh, yes. There's the Spider Forest Collective is about 70 members, on and off active, you know, people come and go on hiatus or whatever. But there's always admission seasons that we manage, where we started a podcast. We've done two Kickstarters now. And just the general things that come with forum and chat-based communities, moderating things, making sure everybody's having a good time. So it's a big task. There are several wonderful admins. I think we're up to about 8 admins right now. And everybody really does their best to do their part. And keep everything running smoothly. And that's been going on for about 10 years now.
I didn't realize it was that long.
I was accepted to the collective about 5 years ago, but I think
sounds quite creepy. Sounds like you're in a cult of some kind.
it's not entirely unlike a cult. No, we're pretty cool. We're really trying to do more open things for the public. Our forums are open for anybody who makes webcomics to come in, show what they're working on, whether or not they're a member. And then we've also added, within the last year, a public Discord chat, since that's the rage now. You can go in and you can talk to people, get real-time feedback on whatever you're working on. So we're not a cult, I promise.
You're more of a sort of Borg collective.
Yeah.
Maybe that.
You do the kind of the open kind of thing where people can join up their comic, and you get a lot of people kind of submitting their comics for review. And the first time I went through the review process, I was amazed at how in depth it is. It's not just the kind of, oh, that looks good, that want to be in.
Or,
doesn't look great, so we won't have that in. Like, there's a good kind of, you look at the site structure, story, narrative, where it's going, what the progress is like, what the update schedule's like. So you're very kind of on the ball and very rigorous. So, like, the quality you can find in Spider Forest generally, I find, is very high.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I've seen the comics turned away and I thought, wow, that's a good title. And it's just like, maybe they haven't got to a point yet where they're ready to kind of step it up, or it's not quite there yet.
But how much money do you charge, you know?
For being in the collective?
Yeah.
It doesn't cost anything, does it, Christina?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Clever. I get you. Okay.
I mean, you can give me money. I'm not going to say.
This isn't.
And we do take donations quite seriously.
I see what you mean, Tony.
So yeah, basically, what we're saying is, are you trying to insinuate that Spider-Forest is like Scientology? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
No, it wouldn't.
I mean, I am based in Los Angeles, so that is a fair question to ask.
Yeah. I've got the old Scientology headquarters a couple of miles down
the road. That's near you, isn't it? Yeah.
The
UK one. Yeah.
Just the coincidence.
Yeah, it's no coincidence.
No, but Spider-Forest is free, and it's just all web comics all the time. So, pay attention to Tony.
One of the talking points I was going to bring up is the fact that someone mentioned, it was either on a show or on the Facebook, that when you bring your book to a show, and there's like 20 other exhibitors, your print comic has got to stand out from the rest, and the kind of, there's price factors on whether people would want to buy yours or not. With webcomics, you suffer that a lot more. Even though essentially the entry fee to kind of pick up the comic is free, the amount of people you're going up against is incredible. I mean, there's no bar for people to start up a webcomic. You can literally go online now to start posting stuff up on any number of the free sites, or you can just start your own and start doing it. So I've been on a couple of forum boards over the weekend, and people have been talking about how they get readers and how they get interaction. And I've got to be honest, I was posting mine up for years, a good year at least, before people started interacting and started building up the readership, because I feel like, I don't know about you, like people want to know you're going to keep delivering this content for them to get invested in. I mean, it'd be frustrating. So you got 15 pages into a story, and then the creator just went on hiatus and he never saw it again. You're like, oh, okay, I've invested this time, and it's just up in smoke, as it were. I feel like webcomic readers are a bit choosier in that regard.
To some extent, I think there's this great comic that goes around every once in a while where someone, you know, sets their cake down, and it's kind of this plain cake, and it's next to this three-tiered chocolate cake, and they're thinking, oh gosh, my cake is so much worse than this cake. And then the audience comes by and they're like, holy shit, two cakes! And that's how I kind of feel about like the webcomic world. It's like, they're not mutually exclusive necessarily. There's nothing, you can read one comic and you can read another comic, and you don't have to not read either of them because both of them are free. There's no there's no inhibitions to the readers. So so it kind of feels like there's a lot of competition, and there is a lot of trying to get the word out. But the second you start thinking of other webcomic creators as your competition and people that you have fight, don't go down that road.
No,
it's not. Okay.
We're not. I think generally in the comics world, we're not big on like saying we're the best and we're better than them. I don't think that's a big thing, is it? I suppose.
No.
Otherwise, you know.
But there can be some self-doubt aspects of that. Yeah. Just comparing yourself to other people and saying, well, I'm not Penny Arcade. I don't have my own comic, you know, convention or whatever. So I must not be making it. And you can't do that. You really can't. You can't go down that road. Just look to other people as your friends, get advice where you can, and collaborate. There's always, like, people asking for hiatus art or other collaboration opportunities, which is another great thing that we do with Spider-Forest, and just develop your network of other creators to promote.
So what is hiatus art? Sorry, I'm not a big webcomic reader. What would that be? So is that between issues, people put some fan art up of your comic, that sort of thing, is it?
Essentially,
Right, okay. Yeah.
Because they did one on the Girl Power. That's like a massive webcomic.
Right.
And Dave Barrick was asking for pictures for that. And obviously I scrambled to get one done. And just having that on that site alone, there's hundreds and hundreds of readers per day on that.
It's a good promotion thing.
Yeah, so they see it and say, oh, okay. And then you get a bit of sort of cross-pollination.
Did you find that did to your numbers, though, Dan?
There was one month last year where Dave quite nicely mentioned Vanguard in saying, I really like these type of comics, you should check out Vanguard, Dan does this, blah 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 blah, and I must have got about 60,000 page hits on that day.
Nice.
Wow.
Just kind of like absolutely blasted. I mean, usually I get about 1,500, 2,000 a day, roughly.
Wow.
And it just absolutely just hammered through the roof, and I was like, oh my God. And it's to make, I think, well, Dave does it full time. He earns his living through doing the comic. And if you can kind of get to that place, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, very impressive.
Who do you think are, do you think that people who read webcomics are a different crowd, a different sort of crew than people who like buy floppies on a Wednesday, the Wednesday Warrior crowd? Do you think there's a big divide, Christina, or do you think there's a crossover? What do you think?
Oh gosh, you know, I never really got into that, going and picking up new comics on Wednesdays at my local comic book shop.
Right.
And so for me, yeah, that was never my tribe. I respect them. I know there's a lot of good stuff out there, but it's just not me. But I know definitely there are people who do both. The reason you can't.
Do you think there's been a movement over to webcomics because of the price of everyday comic shop comics? Do you think that's helped the webcomic community, or?
I'm not sure. Honestly, price was never a big factor for me. It was more they weren't telling the kinds of stories that I necessarily connected with or enjoyed. Yeah. I came at it from the vector of anime and manga, sort of, I really like these long-form narrative sorts of things that that I can pick up and I can read 100 pages and go on, sort of like graphic novel style. And that has never really been the focus of sort of the brick and mortar comic shop. They prefer the smaller episodic 24 page floppies.
But I'd say the webcomics certainly have got more than their, not more than their fair share, but a fair share of kind of anime and manga inspired webcomics. I mean, that seems well serviced.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it seems to, at that point, I don't know what it was, perhaps because that stuff wasn't being made in the West and all this import stuff was kind of getting eaten up as soon as it's being printed over here or in the UK or the US, that people started just making their own and went to the web and started printing it up there. Because there's certainly a lot of it.
Yeah, I
think it does really well.
You want people to read your comic, you can put it on the web in 10 minutes, can't you? You know,
pretty much, yeah.
People can read it once it's done. Yeah.
But echoing a point like Christina said, trying to kind of worrying about the readers and who's going to come. If you're making a comic and worrying about those numbers all the time, you're going to go crazy.
Yeah.
You will. Yeah. Just looking at the site hits and seeing how many people comment and if you enjoy making the comic, that should be priority number one.
Exactly.
I was going to say, like, I mean, I've always wanted to do a webcomic at some point, like a long form sort of story. And the thing that I like about it is just to do a story. You know, there's no, you know, a lot of people will make comics and they'll print a certain number and there's a certain amount of pressure that's on because you have to then sell those issues in order to make the printing money back, blah, 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 blah. But with a webcomic, because it's just you and the web, you can just, it's just you and your story, isn't it? And you can do whatever you want and, you know.
You don't have to give a flying F, do you, about what people think of it?
I mean, the pressure, I guess, comes from the weekly schedule, you know, the real life, you know, because when you commit to that sort of schedule of doing a webcomic, certainly a long-form one, and I know, Christina, you and Dan, you've been doing these webcomics for years. That's where a lot of the pressure comes in, isn't it? When you're telling this big story and then trying to keep up with the schedules that you make for yourself.
Yeah, whenever I tried to connect with a webcomic, I've always sort of read it and thought, oh, when will the next one come out? And if it's not for a couple of weeks, I do lose interest and I don't go back to it.
Yes, fair enough.
But with that in mind, would you join a webcomic like, for instance, one that was created in 2005, say? Would that be daunting for you to start something that you know is still going regularly? Because that's a lot of pages, isn't it?
I think it's because I don't sit in front of a computer at work. I think I know people shouldn't read comics at work, but I'm sure that a lot of, especially like yourself, Christina, you know, you're in front of a computer, so for a bit of downtime, you might read a webcomic, aren't you? I presume. Would that be right? Or
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely ones that I follow, and then because we're reviewing them twice a year with Spider-Forest, I get introduced to a lot of comics, whether I like it or not.
Yeah.
And so you start picking up those and reading them, and yeah, it's you do you pick up things here and there. And
yeah, I mean, I've tried to pick one up, mate. To answer your question, I've tried to sort of keep up with one, and there's only two that I keep up with really, and that's Dan's and Elizabeth Querstritz. They're the only two that I sort of go back to. But I think it's because I don't have that everyday connection to a computer, because my work doesn't always sit me in front of a computer. I can view them on, you know?
I suppose. And I mean, that's kind of where the mobile stuff is coming too.
Yeah. There's
Tapas and Webtoon now that are following the trend of apps and really trying to be the publisher of and distribution mechanism for app-based comics, and some creators are kind of creating to that format and being more conscious of, you know, can I make this infinite scrolling so people can just keep going and they don't have to worry about turning pages on their dinky little phone or something like that. And many readers are now preferring that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the polls we put up, wasn't it, about kind of our web comics taking that initiative in regards to what technology can offer up.
Yeah, because if I pick up a comic or I pick up a trade paperback, I'll either know where I am because it's such a short form thing, or I'll put a marker in it, like a page marker, so I know where I've got to. I think that's what worries me a little bit about reading a web comic is I'll go, where was I again?
Yeah.
You know, it's that ability to book where you go. I'm sure there is, Dan.
Webcomic Rocket that basically...
I was going to say that too.
You start an account, put your comics on there, and it will save up to where you've read, and the next time you log in, they'll say, right, these comics have updated, and
like Comixology does.
Exactly. Oh, so you just kind of jump back into whatever titles you're following, and it'll bookmark where you are. So that's really handy.
That would make me read a webcomic more, I think, if I knew that I was getting that benefit from it, where I could go back to the website and rather than clicking back, or go to the start and click forward, I'd know where I was, you know? Definitely.
Mm. Yeah, check that site out. We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
More work for mate.
But, kind of the webcomics don't seem to be slowing down whatsoever, and perhaps maybe print comics are suffering a little. There's certainly some, like, the sales numbers, I guess webcomics are not really encumbered by that. But they certainly seem to be kind of going from strength to strength. And with the new kind of handheld, like smartphones and tablets, reading them is becoming ever easier. It seems like, I think we asked a question about, are the bigger guys making enough efforts to kind of incorporate the digital side as well as the print? And I don't know. I don't subscribe to the Marvel service, and I get stuff on Comixology, sure.
Yeah.
And we've got the new UK one coming out, which is Comic House.
Yeah.
So that when that launches, that's going to be very interesting to see what the uptake is on that. Mm.
Yeah.
On Comixology, they do have a lot of web comics. Certainly, they collect up issues, don't they? And then they put them on Comixology. I've noticed.
Yeah.
I prefer it for ease of reading, like, rather than... I make a web comic, but I'm not a fan of sitting there bloody pressing the bloody screen every time to go to the next page. I like it kind of like in a condensed lump that I can kind of just whiz through. So I'd happily read a PDF of a web comic or the collected version, like many do on Comixology and the like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many web comics do you read, Christina? Take away the stuff that you have to read for Spider Forest.
I mean, are you asking? Because there's definitely a core of webcomics that I will check every week or every time they update, and I will read as soon as they go. And maybe that's about 20 webcomics. But then I have others that are just like on my RSS feed. I'll go back to them after a couple of months. It depends on how they're paced out, you know. Like, and to your point, I think there are comics that read a lot better as chunks, as you know, reading the entire chapter or episode as opposed to update by update. And that's all about how the writer is pacing out the story that they're telling.
Yeah. I mean, like the traditional kind of three panel joke ones where you can kind of dip in and dip out, that's not really an issue. But like the long form ones, it serves better to kind of hit it in big chunks, I feel. Mm-hmm. But then yeah. I guess it's down to the reader, really. They've got the option there at least to yeah. pick what they want to go for.
Let me ask you about quality control then, Christina, because I know it's something that you deal with. Is you know, every so often we talk about webcomics on here, and I think I'll try some. I'll go back and try some, you know, because I'm an old fogey. And I have to say, I've not naming anyone, but Tapastic, I've been there and I've tried to find something, and I'll be honest with you, there's an awful lot of tosh on there, a lot of unreadable rubbish, to be fair. Without being naming anyone, but there's a lot of stuff on there that is very sort of low quality drawing. It seems to be very samey. Now, you've got a policy. Did you want to talk through how you would grade a comic? You know, how would you examine it in order to let it onto your site?
Sure. So we kind of have a couple different metrics. So we go for the writing. We kind of check, you know, is this well formatted to the webcomic format at all? Okay. Are they updating to a schedule where people can stay engaged with the story? Is their art understandable? Is that working towards them? Some people have beautiful art, but you can't tell what's happening or you know, things like that. So there's all kinds of ways where maybe the art is good, maybe the story is good, maybe they're not matching up. And so you look at that. Another aspect that we care about in Spider-Forest is community involvement. I mean, that's kind of, you know, are you willing to go the extra mile or you know, talk to other people who are starting out just like you and help them out? Are you willing to cross promote? Because that's so important when for any independent creators to be able to reach out to the indie community and make sure that they have your back.
Okay.
Yeah, I think like the one good thing is the people helping each other out. I'm part of two, the Spider Forest and the Collective of Heroes, and I think both, like where we've done like Halloween stuff, I always try and get involved in and Secret Santa stuff. It's great to kind of love drawing other people's characters, and when you get given someone completely outside of what you would draw, I love taking part of those kind of things. It's like, oh god, I've got to draw this kind of cutesy Japanese animation character that I don't usually mind muscled men punching each other.
So here we go.
Can I give them more muscles?
Yeah.
Less
sparkles.
Less punching, more kicking.
I think the last time I had to do that, I kind of gave one of my characters, given the other one, like a gift of an action figure and them hating it. And that seemed to go down quite well. So
you old softy.
Yeah.
So the other thing I've noticed recently as well, Christina, is people are moving from having a webcomic, and they're obviously, it's popular, and they're thinking, well, I'm not making actually any money out of it. So you are getting a lot of people who are monetizing in some way or another. And the ones that I've certainly noticed over here, there's a couple of examples. Curia Regis is one of them. Dan's Book's another, where they're trading it. You know, they're putting it into a collection and releasing it as a hard copy. I know that's something you've done. Is there any other ways that you see people monetizing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did it through Kickstarter. I started my comic online, and then I've been doing 2 pages a week since 2010. So I have, you know, some nice collections of pages to do my book one, book two, hopefully book three. And as long as my readers continue to support me, I can have those on hand. For a lot of people do make like extraneous money, but I pretty much only cover my costs so I can have this stock for conventions. Okay. But there's also Patreon, which
we see that a lot here as well. Yeah.
Yeah. A very good, site. If you are creating constant, content that people will want to see, just secret things or world building notes or not safe for work pictures or whatever you do.
It's we're going to a dark place. Are we? We're going there already.
Of course. Those patrons that do that kind of stuff earn their money.
Do they?
Yeah, God,
they
do. Yeah.
They absolutely do.
Sex
Yeah.
That's not the only way. I mean, just monetizing your audience that are already engaged. that's the way you do it nowadays, is with Patreon. Also, some of these other things that we talked about, like Webtoon or Tipastic, they have a tipping program. I have mixed feelings about putting your comic on some place that you don't entirely own. So I don't do that.
Copyright type thing, are you? Or is that what you're talking about going from? Or
yeah, just they like to change the terms of service every so often. Yeah. And yeah. I don't like having to direct people to three different sites to go access my comic. I'm like, go to Songulus.com, and I will, if that ever changes, I can change whatever's on Songulus.com to my Comixology page or my whatever. Yeah. But that way I can have a consistent brand over the years and years and years it's going to take me to draw this stinking comic.
Yeah, because I do mine on the main site and I don't do any others because it just annoys the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. Like, I spend so much of my time making the bloody thing and then uploading it and sharing it around social media. Trying to do it on more than one site would drive me crazy. And I feel like if the readers want to read this, they're going to come to this site and read it for free. I mean, I can't make it any more easier for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea of uploading it to like Tapastic and the myriad of other webcomic sites,
Is advertising still a thing on these sites where you get to a certain amount of reads or something and then you'll look to maybe use an advertising who would pay for the site, for example, or something like that? Is that a thing or?
If you're very large, you can kind of do Google's sort of advertising things. And those work very well for places like Hiveworks. There is also Project Wonderful, which will get you about enough to buy a sandwich a month. I mean, in my personal experience.
I do Project Wonderful, and that's kind of usually I just put the money straight back into advertising my comic. So, same, I got Google Ads, and yeah, that might get me, I don't know, 50 quid a year, if that.
Right,
so,
okay.
Kind of the advertising side of it, it's not really.
So, we're not moving to Capri anytime soon, no?
No, God, no.
Yeah, I get you.
But definitely, like the patron stuff, I pretty much put all my sketches and all my work behind the scenes on that, like about 5-6 days a week, and say, well, this is what I'm doing now, and try and offer the people on Patreon as much as I can, really.
Yeah,
because you feel like you're kind of, even if it's a dollar a month, it's like just to kind of sneak behind the scenes, and you're reading the comic, and that's what, 25 cents a week, which is nothing.
You feel sort of a little bit beholding to these people as well, don't you? You know, to give them something.
Yeah, definitely. Feel like kind of like if you spent the time sort of and your money invested in me and this project, I'm going to try and give you something back.
Yeah, it's only fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's some people that absolutely sort of crush it on Patreon with the service they offer, like Max Smith on Scurry.
Yeah,
his Patreon it's fantastic. When you get, I mean, occasionally he posts up stuff on Twitter about like the animated GIFs of his work process, and obviously there's a lot more of that on the Patreon.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes you want to cry whenever you see those animated GIFs.
Yeah.
But it harks back to what Christine was saying earlier. If you start measuring yours up against Max Smith, you're like, why bother then?
No, don't do that. But they're doing an excellent job. And but I think the thing that you do need to do is you need to have that audience first, right? You can't go straight to Patreon and say, here's my comic, but you can only read it if you pay. Because that... I've seen people try to do that before, and unless they have an established audience, it doesn't really pan out for them.
No,
and that's got to reduce their established audience as well. You know, there's a couple of podcasts that have gone to Patreon, and it's kind of pissed me off a little bit. You know, I don't know, especially when we do so much. I mean, the comic industry is kind of supported by fandom, and it's a lot of fans who do a lot for free, isn't it? To a certain extent. And I do get a bit pissed off when suddenly they say, right, you can still keep reading this or you can keep listening to this, but you've got to pay. Yeah. You know,
see, if they did a lag where you did like there was a week ahead on the Patreon for the podcast. I mean, that's fair enough. If you kind of want to be a fan of the show and help, but it's not locked behind a paywall. I think this kind of the paywall issue is very kind of
divisive.
Very divisive.
Yeah.
Well, you think more and more content now is being locked behind paywalls, and for years people have said they wanted the TV, they wanted to pick what TV service they want and they can get, and they do that now, but the unfortunate side effect is, like, you might have one program on one service, you want to watch another program on another, and you've got to subscribe to them both to get it.
And I know that a lot of, in the TV world, a lot of TV programs are rated on how many people illegally download them.
Really?
You know, and they actually take that into account, whether they decide whether a program should keep on running or should be cancelled, you know? Because people who illegally download it are still going to be buying lunch boxes and T-shirts and stuff, you know?
Yeah. That's true. Like, I think Game of Thrones...
That was the most pirated show for years, wasn't it?
I think Walking Dead was behind it, yeah, I think. Mm.
Because you've got to have Sky to watch in the UK, Walking Dead. So,
but also, I think Sky. When things like that happen, if your show's good enough, or your comic, or whatever, if it's good enough, then people will probably watch it or see it when it comes out normally anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that rewatchability factor, isn't it?
Yeah, they buy the Blu-rays, DVDs, all the merch. I mean, I don't know about you, Christina. Do you sell merchandise of Zombulous?
I just have the books. I have like a couple little tchotchkes and stuff that I have for conventions, but not too much.
What's a tchotchke? Wasn't that the bloke who was on Happy Days?
Joni loves tchotchke.
Yeah. I have some stickers. I have some buttons, but I don't know, they don't really
we love a badge, don't we? They go down very well. That's what we call buttons over here, by the way.
Badges. I'm learning today. Especially in a convention setting, it's very hard to push independent work and try to get people to engage with this over Wonder Woman or Spider-Man or something else that they've heard of.
Yeah, with that in mind, what has your convention experience been like for essentially your webcomic? I know you've got printed versions, but you're also trying to bring new readers into the weekly book, aren't you? What has that been like?
I thought it was going to be a lot different. I thought people were going to come to me and say, I read your comic online, and that happens once in a blue moon, but not a lot. Instead, it's almost like its own audience. These are the people who want to read a book. They want a physical book. They do not want to sit in front of their computer and read a comic. So even though my comic is completely free online and you don't have to pay $30 to read these books, people will pay. And so that's kind
world.
Of a relief.
Yeah. I do the same. I buy stuff on Comixology, then I'll buy a physical version of it. I know you both, Vince and Dan, do that as well.
Yeah.
If you love it enough, you want it on your shelf, don't you, sometimes, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm always a bit paranoid about the digital being taken away from me. Do you know what I mean? If my kind of, I've got something in Comixology, and then someone at Amazon's, he's not going to have that anymore, and just presses a button and it's gone. Like when I've got the physical copy on my shelf.
Yeah.
Unless someone tries to fucking break in and steal it. That's mine. Do you know what I mean? It's like if you're watching a film, I really like this film on Netflix, and then two months down the line, they get rid of it off the catalogue, and you're like, fuck.
It's always the week you want to watch it as well.
Yeah.
You put it on the list, but you don't watch it, and then you think, I really feel like watching this, and they've gotten rid of it.
Well, I've told you that's my paranoia. That's my paranoia around Comixology.
Because
the comics industry is so flat, and all these rumors are going around about Marvel, publishing going somewhere else, and then this happens. I think somebody will fall out with Comixology, and then they'll pull all the Marvel comics. And I'm super paranoid about it. You know?
I don't think that'll happen. And I think if that happens, it'll be a case of like that going forward. You won't be able to get your books there, but people are still have their digital copies. Maybe I'm just being too positive.
I don't know. I know that, for example, 2000 AD aren't interested in Comixology. Say, for example, they thought, we'd give it a trial for 2 weeks, and they put their stuff on the Comixology, and they think, it's not selling well for us, we'll take it off again. What would be, I don't know, I've never looked at any. I've never looked at terms and conditions of anything I've ever done in my whole life.
Me neither.
Amazon have taken books off people's Kindles.
Have they?
Yeah.
Right.
That's happened. You can look at the stories about, like, kind of, they've... you've updated your Kindle, like plugged it in, updated it on the computer to get the latest books, downloads, whatever, yeah. and they've stripped the book off because they've lost the rights or
what?
The reader, the author wanted it, redacted the book. Yeah, that's happened. There was one, I can remember one person that was kind of, they'd got a book and it was, something was wrong with it, and then Amazon basically said, right, okay, this account's dodgy, and then just took all the books off. And you're like, oh, okay, what's happening there? So that's why I've kind of got that slight paranoia about that, because obviously Comixology is owned by Amazon.
Yeah.
That shit like
it's
that.
It's a weird one. So when you go crazy, Christina, and delete loads of webcomics just because, you know, you don't like them, you think you'll do that?
I wouldn't do that, man. Somebody could work into that.
Fuck, I'd do that. I'll tell you now.
Just relax. I think it's madness when someone, I've seen it a couple of times, and I don't want to have a pop at anyone who has done this as a webcomic, is they do a webcomic and get two issues in and think, this isn't working out the way I wanted to, and then go back, delete all what they've done, and start again. And I just think, oh, I couldn't do that. That's madness.
But, yeah.
Are you going to tell us you've done that?
No. I think going back to like more independent creator experience, there's definitely people who start webcomics when they're in their teens and they get a lot better. And they say, oh gosh, this isn't reflective of the story I want to tell at all. I'm so much better now. And so there is this kind of drop off of the first webcomic because you know what you want to do. You kind of want to have a fresh start at it. And I try not to blame anybody for that too much, but there have definitely been some times when I'm following something and I'm enjoying it. It's not perfect, but I'm enjoying it. And then they're like, yeah, I'm not going to work on this ever anymore. And I'm going to let the domain expire and you'll never be able to see it again. And that's not a good feeling.
And then what? They don't give a reason for it. It just stops.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they'll give you a reason, but like mostly, oh, I've decided to go in a different direction. One of those non-reasons.
But even if, I mean, I did a webcomic years ago, and I let the domain go, but I put it all on a blog, so you could find it all on the blog as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So there are options for people who do that, aren't there, you know?
Yeah. If I don't know, just you're sort of playing around with people's emotions.
And like, people have personal lives, I think that's the thing.
Christina.
I'm sorry?
People playing with my emotions happens a lot on this show.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Don't pity him.
Emotionally abusive.
Right, do you see, you know how you get trends in comics, you know, superheroes are popular and then we might have a bit of a sort of barbarian phase or, you know. Do you see trends in webcomics, Christina? Do you see like suddenly an influx of autobiographical or whatever it may be, vampires or something? Do you see that a lot?
Yeah, there's a lot of animation influenced webcomics now. I feel like there's just a lot of great series that people have grown up with. Of course, like I said, I came at this from the anime and manga angle, and we kind of talked about, there's a lot of that. There's several things. I think that's waning off a little bit because there's a lot of things on Cartoon Network and things that... Yeah,
definitely feeling that coming through.
Disney.
Adventure Time type stuff, you mean?
Yeah, Adventure Time or Steven Universe or these sorts of animations that are great. And they're really influencing comics in a way that we haven't seen before. So that's what I'm seeing right now. But in the past, I mean, every other person was doing a Magical Girl series. There's like all kinds of like you could make a bingo card and check off. Okay, these are all the things that we're gonna see in Spider-Force this season or whatever. But
okay.
I'll tell you one thing, is like you think how big The Simpsons was, maybe not so much is now, but I don't think that really ever had an effect on the comic book world or webcomics whatsoever. What do you think? Do you think that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was as near and dear to people's hearts. I mean, The Simpsons was cool, but it was very much more adult themes and humor. And so... when you're seeing more things that this was a formative part of my childhood, then that's where you really get these passionate indie creators who are like, I need to make the thing that is in my heart. And that's
it's definitely those more sort of adventure comics, isn't it? Because, like, for instance, the Simpsons, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, etc. That's the sitcom sort of family sort of setup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which doesn't necessarily translate to a webcomic. I haven't, or comics in general. I think, you know, even single issue comics, I don't know how many times that's successfully translated to it. Whereas, you know, I can feel it already, that the influx of the Rick and Morty crowd.
Yeah, I was about to say
just
exactly
making
that,
you know, web comics from all of those, you know, because that's a different setup. Yes, you've got the family there, but at the end of the day, it's an adventure series about two main characters, isn't it, really?
I don't think I've gone through Twitter once in about the last 3 weeks and not seen a Rick and Morty thing. I've only seen one episode and I'm sick of it already.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
But it seems everyone does a Rick and Morty drawing. Everyone in the world.
Yeah, there is a lot of that.
Yeah,
there's the character. He makes his catchphrase up. In the show, that he knows is absolute garbage.
Right.
He just says it because shows need catchphrases. Yeah. And now that has become...
It's become a catchphrase.
It's become a catchphrase.
Oh,
it's just absolutely bizarre. Do you remember, I don't know if you've seen this, Christina, but there was a show in the UK called Extras with Ricky Gervais, and there's a moment where he's on the set recording his show, and he looks at the front row of the audience, and they're all wearing T-shirts with the catchphrases of the show he's on.
Yeah.
And he's just like...
It's like turning up at a convention and someone's wearing a T-shirt that says "Shut up, Tony."
Yeah,
similar.
Oh, I'd love that. Oh, it's happened, hasn't it, Tony?
Yeah, that kind of moment of kind of like you tried to stay away from this and then you've become what?
Yeah.
Hate.
Nice.
Nice.
So,
do you have an 18 certificate? Do you take adult stuff on your site, Christina? Excuse me for asking, or.
No, I don't.
PG-13 or?
Yeah, I'm more like Harry Potter, magic sword fighting sort of thing.
Right.
Kind of direction, but...
I mean, like, kind of adult webcomics, there's... Well, not speaking from experience, there's quite a few of them. Like, on the other day,
It's going dark again.
Like, I was on Project Wonderful. Like, I'm going to put a couple of quid on Project Wonderful and place an ad. And then you look at the content and the ratings, and you're like, okay, well, and you just click on that one. You go to the site, and it's like, holy shit. You know, it's like, there's loads of ads for other comics, and it's like, I've never heard of any of this stuff. Like, but like, they're obviously big titles. And you look at the site, and it's like, the site is really well done. Everything's top notch. The artwork's top notch, but it's like, it's all.
I bet they get a few hits as well, don't they? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get any submissions for that sort of thing, Christina? And you go, oh my god.
Yes. How dark do you want to get here?
Go on. The darkest, the better. The darker, the better.
Oh no!
Don't embarrass the poor lady.
We definitely get some people who are influenced by that, and we do review all kinds of genres of stuff. So
okay.
We just ask you, is your comic and say. Not safe for work, because we want to know if our family's around or our grandma's behind us. We don't want to be reading this stuff. We want to make sure we're in a good, appropriate place for that.
Yeah.
And the problem, especially with Spider-Forest submissions, is that we're getting a lot of people who are like, yes, it's not safe for work. They said fuck once. And we're like, we don't really care about that. But then we get people who are like, yeah, it's totally safe for work. Here's someone like, performing open heart surgery in gory detail, and we're like, we could have used a warning about that. Right. So we're gonna clarify that in future applications.
I think no matter what sort of comic you get, though, your response is always professional and they're sensible, aren't they? It's not sort of like, ugh, get that away from me.
We try to figure out what the person really needs. Sometimes they do need the community support. But just like restraining orders. I mean, I don't know, but no. I think a lot of people everybody who comes in is trying to tell their best story, and we do keep that in mind, and we try to stay positive and figure out, okay, do we have the credentials to help you? I mean, if none of us make this kind of content, we're not really the greatest community for you, and maybe there's another place that's better. So
Okay.
So yeah, unfortunately we can't accept everybody, but we always try to give people a fair shot. And
the heavy weighs the crown, Christina, from the sound of things. Is that right?
Indeed.
But then on the flip side, the quality of Spider Forest is high, which is great. Like if you go on there, you're going to find a good comic, as opposed to if you go into any other site where anyone can list anything like you've experienced, Tony.
Yeah.
You kind of wade into the mire.
Oh, God.
Yeah, these are all things that...
You know, I look at some sites, and I don't really understand it all, Christine. I don't understand how computers work. And I look at some of it, and I think this is terrible rubbish, you know. And so when I find one, like Scurry or like Vanguard or, you know, a few of the others, or like your own one, I think, oh, my God, this is really good. You know, I wish there was a site. And that's what you're aiming for, isn't it? You're aiming for that quality management. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and just trying to make sure that somebody has curated it, right? You know, every comic there has been reviewed by at least like 30 people.
Wow.
And so,
okay.
And so, these are all, sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but we all vote on them. Everybody gets one vote in the collective, and whatever rises to the top is usually amazing quality.
So is actually the only example in Britain and the US of democracy working well then, presumably?
Pretty much.
It's always great in principle, isn't it? But it's the execution.
Yeah.
We'll send some notes to our respective governments.
Because when the latest review processing was going through, and I was like, I wonder if I could find the one for Vanguard that got what people said, but I think it's been locked away by admins. Yeah.
We keep those secret. And most of the time, though, it's really boring. It's like, I like this comic. I like this comic, too. I like this comic, too. And like, okay, let's all get that comic.
You're in. Yeah.
Right.
Petition Max Smith for Scurry to get on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if that applied, we would just be like, hell yeah, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
Okay, we did a couple of polls this week, and one of them was probably our biggest poll ever.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Mm, it was. We're small fish in a big pond, yet people still listen. Amazing. And with that in mind, normally when we do a poll, there's lots of comments that we have. I'm not going to read any of the comments out because we had loads.
Oh, we got a few, didn't
we? I'm not going to be here all night doing this. So we'll literally just go to the results of the poll. Right.
If you can go on the feed, the Awesome Comic Podcast, and look at the questions.
Oh, very professional,
people
Dan.
People can look through it.
A lot of good points. Yeah, a lot of good points.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I love about the interaction with our listeners and just the people on our Twitter. There's always sensible points and sensible discussion. So this show is not sensible in any way, shape, or form. So it's the people that listen that make it sensible. But anyway, the first poll we had was, is the end for print comics in sight? Oh,
yeah.
Quite a big question, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we had four choices. We had yes, digital is the future. No, no way, not ever. Third was, are you mad? Paper rules. And the fourth choice was 00101011.
Funny fuckers that they are. Yeah.
Well, you know, I feel like that even the spam bots need to have a vote now and then. So.
We've heard a few sexy spam bots recently. I've had a few come to me. That's nice, isn't it?
I tell you what, spam's more popular than ever at the moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, so which do you think came out on top? I think it's fairly obvious. But
it would be print, not ever. I would say. Like, as in print comics till I die. Mofo.
Oh, you should have it on the T-shirt, Dan.
Yeah.
yes, you're absolutely right. But the actual results are quite interesting.
Okay.
So we had no, no way, not ever was top of the poll with 47%.
Okay.
Are you mad? Paper rules was 35%.
Wow.
Which is essentially the same answer.
I think
people just wanted to put an exclamation point on it. 0010 that got 11%.
We know who you are. We know voting for that one. It was one that was me, to be fair, but there you go.
But 7% said yes, digital is the future. That's
interesting.
That's the one that interests me. Yes, it's only 7%, but I think it's quite interesting.
I was thinking maybe it was like a generational thing. As we move forward, it would be like you read your stuff digitally now. For instance, my son does the work on a whiteboard for a pen, where it used to be a blackboard, and they've got tablets in the classroom. And that seems kind of like, well,
they don't have books.
They do have books, but they also have tablet works to do on tablets.
Unbelievable.
So it's kind of, I just find it like, oh, okay, we're moving that way. So perhaps maybe it's a generational thing where it's going to start moving stuff to on screens. I don't think I'd like that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There we go. Christina, you're the queen of digital comics. So I'm going to call you that now.
Yeah.
What's your opinion? What do you think? Which way is it going?
I think both. I think you're never going to get rid of paper comics, and you're never going to get rid of digital comics as long as those formats exist. And they both have their advantages and disadvantages. I read web comics. I own paper comics. Only reason I don't own more paper comics is because I ran out of shelf space. But
buy a bigger house. That's,
there we go.
I did. Yeah.
Well, Los Angeles rent is prohibitive a bit.
I think it's the relationship between the two, isn't it? I think when we put out this poll, I think some people thought it was, you're either in one camp or the other.
Yeah.
And that wasn't really the question we were asking. It was just, do you think generally, you know, print comics, you know, monetarily wise, feasibly, will the big two companies stop doing them? If you ask it like that, I think that is a real possibility. Probably not for a long time, but certainly for those bigger companies, they're not going. The print comics aren't going away. For instance, even the webcomic people, they collect them and they want the print copies. You know, there's always going to be print copies available. But if you think about a bigger corporation, which I know it sounds horrible, but some of the suits don't care about these characters in these stories. It's all about the bottom line and the money.
Yeah.
Monetarily wise, it might not be feasible for them to keep making these print comics.
Yeah. I always wonder.
I think you're right.
They might pass the characters off, like they keep, like, say, okay, we don't need Marvel comics, but we've got all the Marvel IPs. We're going to give Fantastic Four and Spider-Man to this production company, and you're going to make comics for us. And we're going to give these characters to that comic creators over there, and you're going to use those characters.
Well, that's what they're trying to say. There's a few scaremongers on the internet who are saying that currently about Disney and Marvel, aren't they? They're saying the publishing might go elsewhere. I don't know whether it's true, and I don't have a clue. I'd like to think it wouldn't, because I think I'd like it all to be in the house of ideas.
Yeah.
You know, but
right. Go on.
Just in terms of those kinds of comics that have been going on for Marvel and DC and the superhero things, they're almost like our modern day Cinderella, Snow White fairy tale sorts of things. Yeah. They can be interpreted and reinterpreted so many different ways. And so they're archetypes now. They're archetypes that people are going to continue to use. Just like, you know, Cinderella went to the ball and she lost her slipper. You know, Spider-Man got bitten by a radioactive spider and now he has powers. I mean, those premises are going to continue forever. Those premises are now part of our culture to such a degree that they're not going anywhere. But in terms of how they're distributed, if dead trees are going to be involved, maybe not.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see maybe they'll do away with monthlies and you'll get a paper trade, but you'll get a digital monthly. I think that's a possible.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is, like, obviously they're digitizing all of the classic issues from the 60s and earlier. You know, they're even doing that now, and you can get them on Comixology and wherever. So do you think, all three of you, in the next 10 years, the big two, should we just say, Marvel and DC, one of them will say, no more print, you can get it all on digital. And maybe they'll just print trades. Maybe they'll just print.
I think we're away from it, but I think certainly if you did a long-term projection, 10, 20 years maybe, the world of technology moves a lot faster. There's this theory about it speeding up, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, the technological speed up that happens. And it's always exampled by me of, you know, we had videotapes for 30 years, then we had DVDs for 10 years, you know, it's like that sort of thing. But I think if you projected 10 years in the future, I think it's a definite possibility. I think it really could happen,
It's funny though, because webcomics almost work in the opposite direction. You have the creators that are making this thing that is purely digital for a long time, and then all of a sudden you can buy books of it. It's you know, it's two sides of the coin, really. But I don't think anyone has to worry. Print comics, or you know, print comics and graphic novels, etc.
It's the old Stan Lee phrase. Whether he said this or not, I don't know. You know, boobs are okay on a computer screen, but you really want them in your hands. I apologise immediately, Christina, for that comment. It wasn't me, it was Stan Lee. He is 94 years old, so I suppose he's allowed to say that now, but, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, we did put a poll up about are webcomics making a good use of technology?
Yes. Do you want the response to that one, actually? Do webcomics make good use of current technology to facilitate the telling of their stories? You can tell Dan Butcher put this one out because he used the word facilitate. Yeah. And I never use words that big.
Pardon? Well, now that we've got control of the Twitter.
I've given them the keys, people. God knows what's going to happen on our Twitter feed.
And Dora's box is opened.
But do webcomics make good use of current technology? Yes, no. Some do, some don't. What do you think the main answer was for this?
See, this is a difficult one for me, because when comics start making too much use of technology, they cross the line to animation for me.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't enjoy so much stuff like The Maid Fire. Do you remember they put out a sort of moving comic of Watchmen when it came out? I really didn't enjoy that. I just thought it's too much. I want to be able to read at my own speed. I don't want to hear the voices. I don't want music or the noise of helicopters landing, you know. It's almost intrusive into what I'm used to, I suppose. So I think Guided View, this year I've decided I like Guided View.
It's cracking.
And that's where I live with it now. I think I'm quite happy with that, and I think that's enough. So I would say yes, they do enough at the moment. Okay. You know?
Christina, what do you think?
So I'm in a strong yes camp, because webcomics started since pretty much the beginning of web browsers, and as different trends in web design evolved, you always saw those reflected in webcomics. When forums and chat rooms were around, they were very formative to early webcomics, which is how they formed this kind of community association. And you still see it in comment sections nowadays, and just the sort of tribalism that comes with finding your comic and finding your people. And then when blogs came into vogue, that got wrapped into webcomics. You can, you know, see the day-to-day struggles of the artists, and people made use of that. Social media happened. Webcomic creators moved there too. They directed people to their sites, and sometimes they used those as the full distribution mechanism. And then mobile is trickling down too. People are publishing through those. App developers are becoming publishers and looking to bring just entire libraries of comics to mobile devices. And you're seeing creators adapt their art to that format as well. So as a general whole, that is what webcomics is all about. Just evolving with the technology. And it's going to continue to go there. It's very exciting and unpredictable. Sometimes it results in weird experiments that don't exactly work. But webcomic artists have the freedom to try. And that's one of the coolest things about them.
I mean, there's some comics I've come across online when they have like an animated GIF of one panel that only changes slightly. And it's kind of, especially when it's kind of a horror title or something, something shifts, that it gives it a really nice kind of feeling. But very much like you, Tony, when the comic's kind of animated and it's got music and stuff, it feels like something between two things. It's not either, really.
It's not what we're used to.
I've never been a fan of like motion comics, purely because it feels more like a storyboarding exercise rather than a sequential sort of storytelling.
They were in favour for about 2 years, and then we just didn't. I know Marvel put out a few. You could buy them on DVD and stuff.
I don't think they ever really.
They did a Black Panther one and a Spider-Woman one and stuff like that, and they just sort of left again, didn't they? It was a weird experience. I think it was just an experiment.
I felt like when you watch one, or however you do it, but it felt like being spoon-fed a little.
Yes.
You know, like, exactly. I don't like this experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Well, that's, I think if you take a established comic that you're used to reading in one format and try to turn it on its head and make it something else, that's where you get that dissonance. But when you're making new properties and you're saying, okay, like Ava's Demon or Homestuck or some of these other sorts of slightly more storyboardy things, they can kind of dictate the rules a little better from the get-go.
So I think trying to reformat something you already, it's been well established and you know how to interact with it, and then completely putting it on its head, that's where that kind of the upset happens, definitely.
So the poll results, I knew this was going to be the main one, with 70%, some do, some don't. People went for the easy answer there. Come on, people. And in second place with 17% was yes, and 13% was no. So
We're going to have a poll one day that one of the answers is let's kill them. And just see how many people vote on that. Yeah, quite high, I think.
Because I pretty much do my webcomic as a kind of a print comic online, because I come from a print background, so kind of it essentially this translates straight into print. There's not really a hassle with it, and I feel like I could have done more with that, but kind of it's just the way where it is, really, where I work.
Yeah,
I mean, that's to doff my cap to anyone who does like adds little bits of animation and stuff into their comics.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I always worry does this page work if this didn't have this effect in it? Because I'm going to print this at some point.
Yeah. Actually, one of my very early experiences, Problem Sleuth, was a series that Andrew Hesse did before Homestuck. And I was hired as a print production person to put those, to put like his like animated GIFs and stuff into a book.
Okay.
I had to go like frame by frame, find the different frames of the thing, blow them up because some of them were built like literally in MS Paint, and make them 300 DPI and format them on a page and you know, maybe put 9 pictures in a row to kind of simulate this comic effect. It was a really fun project. It was very challenging, but it's possible. And so when people say, oh, gosh, you know, you're doing this online, but you'll never be able to translate it to print, I just think about that project and how many hours I spent trying to format that. I'm like, no, it's possible. If I could do it for these tiny pixelated things, then anybody can.
Yeah, true.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we've talked a bit, Christina, over the last couple of years about the format of a page. So I take it you release yours in page doses, don't you, almost? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So do you feel that as a delivery system, you have to have a beginning, a story, and then an end to each page? Do you go with that, or?
For me, I do start with kind of a tell the audience what they already know sort of recap on each page. And maybe that's very subtle and maybe that's not. I kind of lean towards not, because I like to smack people on the head a lot with, you know, remember these characters' names, remember where they are, remember what their problems are. Okay, cool. Now we can move on. And I do a couple more panels that advance the plot and then some sort of resolution beat.
Yeah.
And I think if you're doing a long form comic, there's a bit of a balance between trying to do that and advance a larger overarching story. But
you're aware that we'll go into a trade at some point as well. I suppose that's got a play on you as well, is it? Well,
yeah. I mean, less so because I figure that the people who are mostly buying it have already read it online and they're buying it to support me. So they understand that this was originally written for print or web. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I definitely do that with Vanguard. Try to have pages that end on like, oh shit. And then you're like, oh God, what's going to happen next? But rather than like, as opposed to just have like a conversation, mid conversation, it'd be between two pages. That's a kind of a no-no for me. Definitely, it has to be like ending on a not a cliffhanger of sorts, but like a definite.
I suppose you're constantly thinking about the page turn, aren't you? That's what you're.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's more so than kind of maybe a print comic where characters could have a back and forth over a couple of pages, and if it's just a quick turn of the page, that's fine. But if it's a couple of days wait between the two,
Yeah.
It feels exactly. like you need a bit more resolution.
Yeah, exactly. And you can tell when you're reviewing a comic that it was written with print in mind, and they do not give any kind of care about that situation, because they'll continue things mid-sentence and you don't remember what happened. You need to come away yeah. from each page with some sort of, they talked about this and this was the result. Moving yeah. on.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. How do, so one other thing I wanted to ask you about, Christina, is how you find the convention experience. It's something we talk about an awful lot on our podcast about what it's like here to do a convention. Do you travel about a bit and do conventions, and how do you find people? Do you know, do you advertise your appearance, and do people look forward to meeting you? How does it work in the States? Is there a little community or?
There is. I mean, we have a much broader geographical area, and unfortunately I'm on the West Coast, which we have San Diego Comic-Con, which is the big huge monolith that's been around yeah. for years and years, and it costs thousands of dollars to have a presence there. So if you haven't okay. been there for the last 10 years, you don't go there. And yeah. everything else is kind of smaller, and you have to pay, you know, $200 or $300 to fly out, at least from my area, to go.
Okay. What ones have you done over the years?
So I have done, I like WonderCon a lot, Emerald okay. City Comic Con, which is in Seattle, Small Press Expo, which is actually going on this weekend, and yes. that is on the East Coast. Very good show. And just a couple of other ones, Phoenix Comic Con. I've done some little anime ones, Silicon Valley Comic Con. I could go on, but yeah, there's okay. There is a big. I have no idea about how the con landscape is over there, but United States. We're getting a lot of little tiny 1 year, 2 year cons that are popping up, springing up, trying to take advantage of the Comic-Con brand.
Yep.
Yeah. Because yeah. It's very much like Kleenex now. This is a brand. People understand Comic-Con as an experience. And even if they don't care about comics, they're coming to see celebrities from Game of Thrones or whatever.
Yeah. And, what a strange coincidence.
It's yeah,
exactly,
exactly
what we have here. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
So we are seeing like little teeny tiny conventions trying to spring up and maybe fill the voids of, you know, well, maybe people want to not spend hundreds of dollars on hotels and tickets to get autographs. So here's little community ones. Not too many of them last past a couple of years. Uh-huh. So you try them as a creator, you try to support them, and some work out, some don't, unfortunately.
Without wishing to pry into numbers, do you do well at them, or is there a good reception for what you've got?
It's always a fight. I will say right. that. I do yeah. well because I'm a good salesperson. But okay. you cannot sit there unless you have the... And this is... please tell me this is different over there, but over here you have people making walls and walls of prints of that they do yeah. not own, and yeah. they make bank. Yeah, I do
exactly
not do that.
The same here, Christine.
I
exactly
do not make bank. Yeah. I have to fight for every sale. I don't get to sit there and play Candy Crush Saga on my phone while people say, hey, I want to give you $50. And you say, okay, I'll take your money, bye. No, I'm sitting there. I'm engaging people. I have a little sign that says, check out my comic. And I recommend that. And people are amazed that there is a comic creator at a comic convention. And you start talking to them. Yeah, this is my world hopping adventure, Sombulus. It's about blah 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 blah. And they're yeah. like, "Wow, that is so cool! You made this? Yeah. Yes, I did." And yeah. And you can buy it if you give me money. And that's my experience.
But, very similar to us.
Yeah, so
yeah. yeah exactly. Yeah.
I had a feeling.
It's just, we've gone on about the fact that the Prince thing. I don't understand why the cons don't. Clamped down on it, but I guess that's a subject for another show and yeah. another time.
Yeah, but it pisses us off equally.
A lot yeah. of so if any of those people are listening to that, about it.
If anyone who runs a stall like that Everyone else at that con who's running at the table looks at you with fucking daggers.
Yeah, I mean, I understand you want to make your money, and we've conditioned an audience to be more receptive to these properties that they know and love as opposed to independent stuff. And so I understand you want to cover your costs, and I respect that. I think people should do what they can, but I'd really love to see a change in the landscape. Yeah. I'd love to see a change in the audience, so that it's more receptive to independent creators and new ideas.
Yeah. You do shop signings or anything like that? We find that that's a bit of an up-and-comer here. Yeah. A few indie people do a shop signing, and you know, on a Saturday maybe, something like that. Have you tried that, or...?
Yeah, we have free comic book day, and I try to get into the local comic book shop for that. Sometimes I feel guilty about it because, like I say, I don't really come from that background. So I'm walking in, I'm like, well, I don't do superheroes, but...
Yeah, but it is comics.
Yeah, it is comics, and I make comics, and so that's a personal thing. I need to get into that because... because yeah, there are a lot of very supportive comic shops, especially in the Los Angeles area, who really want to support independent creators and, you know, have something more interesting to do on.
Who's your local shop there? Is it Meltdown? Are you near there or?
Yeah, that's a little downtown. I'm a little further north of Los Angeles, but that's a big good one.
It's a great shop, apparently. Yeah, yeah.
I've heard many things about it, but the parking is terrible in that part of town, so I haven't gone. Yeah.
So, do you have any convention appearances coming up?
Gosh, I'm done for the year, but my next one will probably be WonderCon, hoping to get back into Emerald City because I kind of missed my window to apply. It's very competitive. I don't know how competitive it is over there, but yeah, if you miss your window to reapply or renew, you're out.
And sometimes the window is so unbelievably small that if you're just making a cup of coffee, you know, that's the time that it sells out.
Yeah, Anime Los Angeles is notorious. They sell out in 4 minutes. Yeah. How do you do that?
It's the same with MCM shows here, like 5-10 minutes. If you're not in there at that time, you've not got a table.
Yeah, I almost prefer juried shows just because it's a little less hectic. And so Emerald City is one. Small Press Expo is a lottery system.
Some friends of ours were there. I think Avery Hill are over at SPX at the moment, aren't they?
Nice.
Yeah, it looks like they're having a real ball, actually. It looks really good. Yeah,
so that's one of the other advantages of Spider Forest is that there's a lot of us who apply for a table at Small Pass Expo, and that increases our chances in the lottery. And so we've been able to go for the past 4 or 5 years, and we just pile in onto the same table because it's such a good show. It's got a really cool vibe that I haven't seen in a lot of places. I've heard it compared to Thought Bubble out there.
Okay.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
That's next weekend, Thought Bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to get out to that one sometime, but it's just
if you've
so
got
great.
A spare liver, bring that along because that's all we need.
I guess the good bit of Small Press Expo is people go there knowing what they want and what they're going to get, and the Small Press Expo delivers.
Yeah, it's a bit like LCAF, something like that, I think.
Gotcha.
You know, similar sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. No competition between like you and some weird celebrity. It's just all indie creators as far as the eye can see.
The worst one we've had is like they've got an imitation Game of Thrones has been doing the rounds, and it looks like there's a load of melted plastic.
Awful. The throne itself, yeah.
Yeah.
It's what? Terrible. Like a cosplayer?
No, like they take it around cons, like the throne from Game of Thrones.
Like a fake throne.
You pay like some money to sit on it and have your photo taken, but honestly, it's awful. It's so bad. It's like one piece of plastic they molded
it it looks like a sort of sad melted candle, doesn't it?
Yeah. Are you aware of the TV series Red Dwarf?
Yes.
Well, if you want to meet Hattie, who plays Holly, Red Dwarf, then she's probably at most conventions over here, so you'd be all right.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
And Tom Baker. Not Tom Baker, Colin.
Colin Baker, yeah.
Yeah, not Tom Baker. That'd be amazing, because he's
That'd
dead.
Be brilliant. I don't think there's anyone in the country who doesn't have a Colin Baker autograph, Christine. I think it's obligatory to be English. You actually have to have an autograph. He must have signed so many things.
Yeah. I'm hopefully going to be popping down to the Tonbridge Comic
Con
next Sunday, and he will be there.
Oh, is he there? The only thing I will say about him is he does collect for a charity on his table. So
we can't be horrible about him.
But
all our US listeners out there, if you're going to WonderCon, when does WonderCon take place? Is that in the early half of the year?
It's either March or April.
Oh, nice. So if you're going to be there or plan to be there, then definitely pop over and see Christina.
Yeah. Mm. You're not doing New York then, Christina?
No, that's a little far for me.
Okay. Yeah, yes. I'll be there.
Nice.
Definitely urge listeners to go and check out Spider Forest.
Yeah, yes. Definitely. Yes.
And
really
Somnulous. You'll have to come back onto the show so we can have a proper talk about your book. Because I tell you what, this has been the most in-depth webcomic chat we've ever had.
Yeah, it's been good.
It's been fascinating. Yeah. And I know a lot of our listeners are webcomic makers and fans and stuff. So thank you very much for joining us this week. It's been awesome.
It's been really cool, yeah. Yeah.
Cheers, Christina.
Thanks for having me.
So where can people find you online, etc., and your comic Somnulous?
So my comic Somnulous is www.somnulous.com. Pretty easy. You can also find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram at Delfina2K.
Oh,
nice.
Okay.
So give her a Twitter follow, etc., and get reading the comic, because it's...
I've just followed her. There you go.
It's well worth
it. Oh, nice one.
There
you
go.
We're like proper friends now, Christina. I feel like we're proper friends.
Yeah.
You talked first before following on social media, which is a rarity nowadays.
Yeah, that is a rarity.
I'm a weirdo. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, there you go, folks. Another informative interview. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Christina was a great guest, and I certainly learned a lot.
That this became the third webcomic I'll read. I'd like to point that out to you now.
Hey! Slowly but surely, he's becoming a digital robot.
Yeah. He can't do Mr. Susan.
I know. I keep doing that voice.
Do the crack box.
I would.
Same voice.
Yeah.
I reckon Tony would like spying with Lana as a webcomic.
Oh, right.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I've read
That's
it.
That's not NSFW, whatever it is.
No.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
No.
So,
the art's fine. Really good, though.
Yeah, the art is
just
top bananas.
It's just a bit...
sexy.
Yeah. But definitely check out Christina's work and the Spider Forest Collective, which you're part of, aren't you, Dan?
I am indeed, yes. I got to spend more time on the forums, but I seem to have so little time nowadays to kind of go on forums and chat to people and stuff. Mm. I try my best with the Facebook group, honestly, but just find it difficult to get that time to kind of sit down and give people kind of good responses.
Okay. It sounds like a great little form. And it does sound like the ideal thing for me is where I can't put up with all this trash that's, you know, on certain websites. I can't plough through it. It just burns my heart out. And to find somewhere that has actually got some good webcomics I can go to straight away sounds ideal. Yeah.
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can look at it by genre and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah. Awesome. So thank you again, Christina, for joining us. And now it's time for the shout-outs. Should we just go straight into the shout-outs? Why not?
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Go on. Who wants to go first?
Shall I go first?
You go for it.
Shameless self-publicity is that on Saturday the 23rd, I'll be at Thought Bubble. I'll be between 4:30 and 5:20. It's very specific. I'll be at the Carriage Works Studio Theatre, which is on the fifth floor, apparently. It's free entry with a Saturday or a weekend pass, and I'll be talking to Hamish Steele, who's done the great sort of comedy Gods of Egypt book Pantheon, and Luke Healy, who did the book How to Survive in the North, which I spoke about a year ago. pop up. I'm running the panel for No Brow and a couple of No Brow books. I'm really pleased about it. It should be great fun. And if you get there early, make sure you get in early. In fact, get in 50 minutes early, because you'll be able to watch Is McAuliffe and Stacey Whittle interview loads of really great 2000 AD creators, including John Wagner. So that should also be fun. So I'll be in the audience for that as well. But generally over the weekend, I'm going to be roaming about with the Gibster. And we'll be doing a few interviews, seeing a few people we've had a chat to on the show and stuff like that. So make sure you say hi. I'm going to be there on the Saturday, so come say hello.
Nice one.
Nice. I've got a mini shout-out, I would say. And that is for a creator who's a big supporter of the show, Gareth Slightholm. I hope I said that right. Now, I'm halfway through reading his books, The Cthulhiad. I hope I've said that right.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to be talking about them next week. But, you know, I didn't want to talk about the books when I haven't quite finished them yet.
But I know
he's going to be at Thought Bubble, I believe, this
week. Yes, he is. Yeah, I said I'd pop by and say hello.
So definitely search out Gareth's table, because his work is just great and the series is fascinating. So definitely go and... comes with a high recommendation, that does. So thank you for all the support, Gareth, and... we hope you do all right on Thought Bubble, which is...
It's going to be an interesting year this year at Thought Bubble, isn't it?
Because
it's the new venue. I drove past it recently, and they were sort of setting it up when I was up there for the day. And, it looks like it's going to be... Because it's really central as well, isn't it? So it should be quite fun, I think. Yeah, there you go.
Hopefully. I think that a lot of creators, it's their highlight of the year, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, and one day...
I think
day,
we need a little bit of an injection of adrenaline, don't we, after... Whilst we had the most fun ever at London, I know a lot of people didn't quite match up to their expectations. No, I think we need a little bit of a shot of that, don't we?
No.
I think
in terms of London Super Comic Con, it was great fun, but for a lot of people, the fun is what, you know, the social aspect made it for them rather than the sales, should we say? I was great. I had Mexican and that's all I care about.
we'd have pissed, didn't we?
That's cool. Chris Inman licked my face.
Didn't he?
He did. I'll never forget.
We should have asked Christina if like the cons are like that hers or like the ours over here, where the kind of this year's been a bit of a hit, as it were.
Yeah.
Like kind of sales wise. But
yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
But yes, if you're going to Thought Bubble, check out Gareth's table. Well recommended.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any shout-outs? Dan, do you have any shout-outs?
On the 30th, Pat Mills is doing the talk
Friday the 29th, mate, I think.
Yeah, sorry, Friday the 29th.
Yeah.
It's a talk on the book of... the
Be
name's
pure.
Bloody... Be Pure, that's it, yes.
I finished the audio book of that this week. I absolutely rinsed through it. So, Pat, thank you for talking to me for the past 3 days.
In your headphones.
Work. Yeah. He's been whispering sweet nothing to me.
I downloaded it on my machine at work, and I've somehow got to get it onto the bloody iPhone.
Right, okay. It is great. So, only he could narrate it. I've got to be honest with you. I think he's right in that, isn't he?
Yeah, completely. And it is a great audiobook. I mean, certainly someone like me who doesn't have a huge train journey to work anymore, like reading like prose is a bit harder, but like I absolutely just ran through that book. And it's brilliant stuff. Whether you get it in hardback or whether you get it in audio version, it is a must have, that book. It's brilliant stuff. And funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is good. And the other two things are Nottingham Comic Con. So go to nottinghamcomiccon.co.uk. Their Kickstarter smashed it today. Just finished as we record. Well pleased. Go to their convention. We'll have a table at that. And we will also have a table at the Wimbledon Comic Festival, which is on the top of my head, I think the 11th of November. Me and Dan are going to be at that one. And I think Matt Harrow has booked a table as well there. So it should be a giggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, 11th of November.
There's certainly going to be more talk about those shows, like certainly when Thought Bubble's being done, because I think for a lot of creators out there, Thought Bubble is foremost.
Get out of the way.
Get that one done, and hope everyone has a great weekend, obviously. But we're certainly going to have a lot more chat, certainly about Nottingham, because we may be trying to get someone onto the show who'll be able to talk about it a bit more.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice, Tom.
So there
Excellent.
You go. So, but comics. This show's about comics, isn't it? Should we talk about some comics?
Oh, go on.
Who wants to go first?
Shall I go first?
Yeah, go for it. Right, I'm going to go possibly one of my top two books of the year this year, Dalston Monsters, which I think got a release this week on Friday. Sorry, last week, Friday. You can now buy it in shops. You can buy it from the Nobrow site. Absolutely brilliant. It's probably one of the best presentations out the blue, out the gate by someone I'd never seen before. Suddenly he's done a comic. It's by Dilraj Mann, who I'm hoping to interview this week, so we might get some audio from him next week. But as I say, published by Nobrow, it's full colour, 76 pages, oversized hardback, £14.99, great value. I always like to talk about the cover. Since we did that cover show, we got some great feedback on it, and I think of every cover I've seen recently, this is the one that is the most eye-catching. I sent it through to you guys on the... on the WhatsApp group as well, didn't I?
It's great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It tells a story in the cover. It's got the host of characters, or a lot of the characters who appear in it, one of the creatures, and it's got a sort of bright yellow sidebar to it with the title on it, and a setting of sort of East End tower blocks around the image. Absolutely brilliant stuff. I'm going to say the best way to describe it is, do you remember, when certainly Leo does this for Cinebook, but have either of you seen Monsters, the movie Monsters?
Yes.
Now, that movie always strikes me in that you don't get this sort of in-the-shadows creature. You're just suddenly presented by this creature out of the blue. And I know Leo does it in the Aldebaran and all those sort of books, Beetlejuice books. And just suddenly you're presented by just the strangest, most sort of outlandish character. And in this case, it's sort of Monsters. So... To set the scene, it's set in East London, in Dalston, in sort of trendy hipster East London. A kid gets released from youth offenders and from prison, ends up in a bit of a chase because the bloke who's picked him up has sold sort of fake weed to someone, and they get in a chase and there's sort of a bit of a fight. And then suddenly, just out of the blue, you're presented by a monster. So monsters are commonplace in the East End of London, sort of walking over the tops of buildings. And it's almost like... every day, you know, a little bit of a surprise, but this is what happens in East London type situation. And from there it goes, so you're presented with the everyday, and then into that you're thrown the fantastical, and it's just so well done. Really, really gorgeous artwork. I'm going to put the artwork somewhere between I mean, there's definitely sort of manga influences, but I would put a bit of Charles Burns in there as well.
Okay.
That sort of dark, heavy lined, freakish sort of characters, heavily in the design sort of area. And so this kid comes out of prison. He meets a girl who's seeing his friend gets kidnapped, and it's a sort of battle to get him back. She's got a pet monster who they ride about in. I wrote a review on it this week. It's on Never Iron Anything, but I wrote it, and I was sort of sculpting it ready to stick it online, and I was on a long car journey with a friend, and I showed it to him, and he's not a comics reader, and in fact he's not really a book reader, to be fair. He's not, you know, you meet these guys occasionally, they just don't read anything other than the Sun, you know. Sun newspaper. And I showed it to him, and he, because we're on a journey and it's a bit boring, and I'm not, as you know, always as entertaining as people think I'm going to be, he read it in one go, and he said to me, he says, I like that. He says, it's like The Warriors meets Pokemon. And I thought, yeah, I kind of get that. It is. It's sort of, they sort of battle their way across the East End of London to get their friend back. And amongst it are all these sort of strange fucking gangs. And some of them wear sort of strange masks. And some, they all have, each have their own pet monster. And they're all sort of controlling different areas. And they have to sort of traverse this, almost like a fight club of an area, to get through, you know, beating them back in order to save their friend. It's such a sort of richly done environment. You know, they set the stage out with this sort of bright colours, and some of it's at night, but there's no points where, you know, they've been lazy and just put, you know, a hand coming out of the darkness or anything like that. It's just full in your face, full on. Really good. Dilraj is an absolute fucking revelation, I've got to tell you. I absolutely loved this book. If you go to nobrow.net, you can get yourself a copy. As I say, £14.99 for an oversized hardback is by far the best thing
ever
in the world. Yeah, great stuff. There you go, that's my one.
Nice. What about you, Dan?
Since we were talking webcomics, I got this one. I kind of come across it a few weeks ago. I think I sent to you at the time, saying I found this great webcomic. And apparently a few people have reviewed it already, but it's called the Wormworld Saga. If you go to wormworldsaga.com. And for one, it's a great example of a webcomic that uses the technology in like having an infinitely scrolling canvas. So when you originally go to the site, you've got like the whole chapter. So you click on a chapter and basically you can scroll all the way down it and read it all in one image, essentially.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And it's the artwork on this is just absolutely fantastic. It's amazing. And this, I've read it. I've got a little Kindle tablet, and I synced up with my phone, and I was reading them like on my journeys to and from work. And they're beautiful, really great books, and they work really well on kind of a tablet. Maybe a smartphone might be a bit too small to read it, because I've not tried on a smartphone. But essentially, it chronicles, I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but it chronicles the story of this young boy called Jonas, who's his last day of school before the summer holidays, and his dad takes him away to his grandma's house in the mountains. And he's very kind of an imaginative child and lives in his head. And his mother's passed away quite recently, and he's got this very big aversion to fire, which comes in later in the story. And when he's supposed to be doing his homework of an evening, he's going up his stairs into his grandmother's loft, where he's made this little secret den. And then he finds this kind of strange portal. And he, as he goes through it, he ends up like in a fantastic kind of fantasy land. And he's essentially stranded there. It's very fairy tale like. It brings to mind sort of stories like The Neverending Story, Kroll, those kind of things.
Okay.
Really nice. It seems to be the webcomic that absolutely knows what it's doing, really self assured. And I can't recommend it highly enough. It's a really good read.
Cool.
And it starts out great and just gets better and better as you go along. I can't wait to see where it goes. Yeah. I've only read about four of the nine or ten chapters, and it's good. Yeah,
awesome.
There's even a board game available.
Really?
All right,
and,
okay.
It's all done by one chap, and I'm going to murder his name as we always do on one episode, at least once per show. It's Daniel Laiske, L-I-E-S-K-E.
Okay, sounds about right.
I think that's right. So definitely check that out. That's wormworldsaga.com.
Cool.
Let us know what you think.
Awesome. My pick for this week is from a creator and a book that we've heard about a couple of times on this show. And it's one that I read a little while ago. I had a little, it was in the pocket to read about, but I just didn't get around to doing the recommendations. So now I've pulled it out now, because he's going to be at Thought Bubble as well. That creator is Dan White. And this book is Cindy and Biscuit. Bad Girl, Part 1. This particular book that I'm talking about here. I think he's launching a new Cindy and Biscuit book at Thought Bubble, I believe. I believe Gareth Hopkins talked about it. That's what Cindy and Biscuit is one of his favourite. Yeah. One of his favourite titles. So it always stuck in my mind, and I remember seeing the visuals online, etc. So when I saw it, I believe in Orbital, I picked it up. And The Bad Girl Part 1, it's just a brilliant introduction for the series. Now, I know there's already been a collection of it beforehand, but you don't need to read that to read this and enjoy it. And basically, it goes like this. Cindy and Biscuit face their biggest challenge and their darkest hour yet. Something is coming out of the woods. Something bad. It's targeting Cindy at school and at home. It wants to spoil everything. Can Cindy and Biscuit stop it? Let's hope so. It's an all ages book, I can definitely say that, but in the best kind of way. It's not one of these super childish. I mean, for me, it's almost like it's a horror story. This one, but it also it's one of the best sort of examples of school times that I've read in a comic book, because it starts off with Cindy. Because Cindy's the main character, and her dog is named Biscuit, just in case you were wondering.
Right.
But it starts off, chapter one is the perfect day, and she goes to school, and you have the routine of her getting ready for school, packing her bags, and then she's got this project at school to make a castle like out of cardboard and stuff, and it does really, you know, and the teacher really likes it, and, you know, it doesn't look perfect, but Cindy's really pleased with it, and you can see it on her face, and she gets like second place. And you know, there's one kid who obviously has made this perfect sort of castle and is a show off, but Cindy herself is just really pleased. You know, she managed to do a piece of work, and you know, she loved doing it. And just that whole sort of journey and the way that Dan does those pages, it really took me back to like when I was in like primary school and stuff like that, and you'd have those projects that you just love, you just get carried away with, and just you know, and then when you get a little bit of recognition from a teacher, it's just the best thing ever. You don't have to be first place all the time, but just that was just lovely. And then so she has this perfect day and it's wonderful, she gets home and it's great, she goes to sleep that night, and then in the middle of the night, like, her window opens, and then there's this strange witch-like creature hovering over her, with one eye and like sort of flowing dark hair, and it's like really sort of supernatural. And then she wakes up and it's gone. So, and the next day that Cindy has is awful. It's raining, everything goes bad at school, she's accused of, you know, bullying people, etc. You know, obviously it's just the worst thing ever. But she keeps seeing this creature in her periphery. So, cut a long story short, you know, because it's not one of those a kids at school sort of story. There is more adventure to it. She ends up running away into these woods and trying to. She bumps into this creature, and I'm not going to spoil what happens, but there's a rumble that takes place between this witch has a couple of strange. Just the designs that Dan comes up with are great, because like there's these weird sort of, it's hard to explain them. They're like these spheres with like, they're almost like have pipes coming out of them, and then these weird monkey-like bodies grow out of them, and then Cindy and the dog have to fight them. it's imagination, just pure imagination. And then you've got a couple of pages of proper speed lines and like action, you know. But it isn't a case of the story just being sort of disconnected and like, oh, this is a bit random. The story and the pacing and the flow of it are just perfection, just absolutely brilliant. I was loving it. I just absolutely rinsed it. And it does end on a cliffhanger, so I'm sure there's a part two out there that I need to get hold of, because I think the book he's launching at Thought Bubble is a new story. But I am a big fan of Cindy and Biscuit now, so thank you, Gareth, for bringing this to our attention. And I know Dan himself, as well as creating these characters and making these books, he's also co-host of the podcast Silence. Have you heard of that show?
No.
I've heard of that. That's been getting a good word of mouth. He has the best name for a website ever. Milk the Cat. and the picture is that he's got is a cat showing you its arse.
That's a Dune, the movie reference, isn't it? Milk the Cat?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Hey.
Well, see, I didn't know that. I just looked at it and thought, oh. Yeah.
Do for Howard has to milk the cat every day to get the antidote to the poison in his system.
Oh, check you out, you nerd.
That's right.
No.
That wasn't in the books, was it?
No, I don't think it was. Yeah.
You can, like, Dan's work, there's loads of it on milkthecat.wordpress.com. But like I say, he's on the podcast Silence, and he's going to be at Thought Bubble, I believe at table 79. He's done the wise thing. You know when people go to conventions and they put their table number in their Twitter name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the cool stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
we did that, didn't we?
Did we?
Did
we? Well, we were talking about it. We never put it in the name, did we? Maybe we should have.
I put it in the banner.
Yeah.
Everyone looks at the fucking banner. No one does.
But definitely,
that's a lesson learned.
Yeah, tell me that. We learned a lot that weekend. Chris Imber likes to lick faces.
Not a bit I wanted to know.
Yeah. But if you want to see more of Dan's work, I'm sure there's lots of our listeners out there who are already aware of this book and have already read it, I'd imagine. But if you haven't, check out @TheBeastMustDie on Twitter. I love that Twitter handle purely because there's a Hammer horror film called that, which I absolutely love. Have you seen that one, Tony?
I think I have, but not for many years. Yeah.
It's the one that has the werewolf break. because it's like someone in this house is a werewolf, and then like you see the whole film, and then you have to try and figure out who the werewolf is, and it stops at one point saying, "Is it this person? Is it that person?"
Oh no, I need to watch this then. I can't remember that very well. Yeah,
it's quality. Okay. Yeah, the beast must die. So yeah,
yeah.
That's why when I saw it on
fucking gone.
No, you gone.
Critters is on Amazon. Oh, I've got to fucking watch that again. I haven't watched it in years.
Yeah.
I watched Force 5 this weekend.
I know.
How'd you go with it?
Fucking loved it.
Nice.
It is mental, isn't it? I watched that.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
It's in the bit where the bull chases people down corridors.
Yeah.
That's
Oh my god, what's that about?
Yeah.
I think the shittest master. You know this like Sensei character who runs this cult?
Yeah.
He's got to be the shittest one ever.
Yeah. He goes out like an absolute shit, doesn't he? He doesn't.
Have you ever seen those films, Billy Jack?
I really want to. I've never seen Billy Jack, but you can't get it over here. It's impossible to find.
I've only seen clips of it, but the guy who was the bad guy in Force 5, the Taekwondo guy. He's the stunt double for Billy Jack doing the kicks.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay.
Some of the kicks is like fucking hell. He's kicking the
dude. He's like undefeated world champion, isn't he? I can't remember his name now.
The main bad guy, I can't remember what his name is.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
The kind of Taekwondo.
Oh, I get you.
You know, he starts kicking people in the face when they're virtually their noses are touching. It's kind of like, okay.
You're on that
level.
Do you know what? I think when we launch our anthology, we're going to have a Three Amigos show, and as we like to call them. And I think there's going to be an awful lot of talk about martial arts films. Horror films.
I've been watching recently. I watched the clones of Bruce Lee last weekend.
Oh God!
Oh
fuck yeah!
Bolo, just
Bruce Lee, Dragon Lee.
What's the other one? Is it Bruce Lee? I'm not sure.
Oh dear God!
Because that Bruce God. Is it Bruce Lee? Like,
yeah,
or Bruce Lee? He's like fucking like barely 5 foot tall.
Yeah,
he's a really really short chap.
I listened to the Clones Cast, which is a Bruce Ploitation podcast, which I highly recommend. And the information you get on these guys on that is just genius. Just fucking amazing. Yeah. Yeah, so good.
Because I remember watching Inframan. You heard of that character Ultraman. The Shaw Brothers tried to do a version of Ultraman. They called it Inframan.
Fucking
Bruce Lee, one of them pops up in that. I said, it's fucking a Bruce Lee clone. He's not even the main character. Brilliant.
I mean, I've just got Game of Death 2, which is meant to be really good, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Okay.
You know, Bruce Lee, I think he's probably going to be the most credible for me of them all, but you look at these people, like Bolo turns up in half these movies, you know, this sort of thing, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Master of Cracked Fingers, I think, which was the one you bought me, actually. Vince, you gave it to me as a present. But Master of Cracked Fingers is almost like a Bruce Lee clone, and I think Jackie Chan did. Was it Big Boss 2 or something like that?
I
think. Yeah. So there's a little bit of it creeps in everywhere, really.
I didn't see Game of Death till long after, like I was into Bruce, like years after.
Yeah.
And it was like someone stomping on my face watching that film. It's fucking awful.
The bits with him in, apparently there's a YouTube you can find, I've not seen it, where they just edited together all the bits with Bruce Lee in it. You know, he's fighting. Jabbar, is it, the basketball guy, and all this sort of thing, and that's absolutely really good, but the rest of it with him like from the side
standing view,
there's actually a cardboard cut out of his face somewhere. I think Pete Davis pointed out to me there's a cardboard cut out of his face in one of the scenes.
It's in one of the early scenes. It's just like, holy fuck.
Welcome to the Bruce Lee podcast. There must be a Bruce Lee podcast out there.
Should I recommend that? That's really good. Yeah,
I was going to make we almost went off on a tangent joke there, but I thought, didn't do it. That's how far we've gone. We don't make jokes, we just refer to jokes we've made in the past.
Yeah. Oh, God, God.
So lazy.
It's like some sort of
that dream I had again today.
Oh, God. It's like some sort of in-joke inception. Oh, God.
Remember that dream I had?
You have lots of dreams, Tony.
You know the one where I'm being chased? I've got a machete and I'm being chased through the jungle. And I'm bashing away and getting rid of all the trees and the plants in my way. And there's a big snake chasing me. I get all the way to like a big oval-shaped cave. And I put my head in it to escape. And this snake starts screaming and battering me on the back of the head.
I don't know. I think I need to see someone to ask them what their dream's about.
But it doesn't spit venom at you, does it?
Yeah. So it's sort of clammy inside the cage.
Do you know what that means, folks? There's several different ways that you can get in touch with us and let us know how mentally disturbed Tony Esmond is. You can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, if you've got an event, any events or anything like that, or if you're going to be at Thought Bubble, because I think you're going to try and get there.
I'm going to be there. I'll be there on the Saturday and probably the Friday night.
Nice.
Yeah, like a wanker probably, but there you go.
Splendid. Yeah. So if there's anything,
same old.
If there's anything you want us to know about beforehand, tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Like us on Twitter at the Awesome Pod, where we'll be announcing the next guests or the latest polls, or just who knows. These two have the keys to the Twitter account now. So
yes.
Yeah. And guess who we followed this week? We followed the Geordie Shore site.
I'm thinking about cancelling that. Right, don't make me change the password, Esmond.
Every week I'm going to follow something.
I will change
wrong.
The password.
Hollyoaks After Dark next week.
I'm trying to remember that Alan Partridge, the Twitter account, it only follows one person. It's great. I'll have to look it up now.
But everyone should follow us at The Awesome Pod.
Yes.
Likewise, on Facebook, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast and join our discussion group, Awesome Comics Talk, which is always good every week. And it's always on the go. There's always something that gets posted.
I've added three posts while we've been talking.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. I thought that one about Marvel and Marvel drop-off sales was going to get a bit punchy. But
did you read that one?
Yeah. But it was fine.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We don't accept punchy in our yard, do we? Well within reason.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, please leave us a review. Dan, Tony, go on, ask them to leave a review.
Well, go on.
Leave a review.
Yeah.
Well, one of them had a lot of passion behind it. Dan, you could do a lot better.
Yeah.
Go on, Dan.
Please, if you have enjoyed the show, please find the time to leave a review on iTunes. Thank you very much.
Or don't. We don't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
I love it. If you've enjoyed this show...
Mr. Susan.
Yes, leave us a review on iTunes, or if you listen to us on Podnose. On Podnose? Podnose. Why not? Everything else has got pod in it. Podnose, Podknife, or on the Stitcher Network. Wherever you found us, thank you very, very much for listening. And we truly appreciate it. And where can people find us on Twitter, etc., online and beyond? Dan.
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
Ooh, I tried to throw him by putting him first.
Yeah.
Tony?
NeverIronAnything.blogspot.co.uk. I'm on Twitter as EzoYesEzOHYZ. And I did another guest blog about three of my favourite covers over at 2000 AD and Beyond. So find them on Twitter at 2000 AD and Beyond.
I never get bored on clicking on a link for your blog and it asking me, This is mature content.
Suck it up. Get on there.
You know, like nowadays when you like watch a film and it's like an 18 cert, you're like, yeah. It's like great. A seal of quality.
Yeah.
But this is going to be good.
Close up, Nip.
Yeah. Shit's going to go down in this film.
Yeah. You can follow me online on Twitter at Jester Diablo and find out more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. Thank you very much for listening, folks. It's been another hugely informative one, and the bits at the beginning and at the end were just us rambling.
Just
so
sorry about that.
Yeah. But this coming week, if you're going to Thought Bubble, have a fantastic time. Have an amazing time.
And say hello to me if you're there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or run away from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will catch you. Drop down from the ceiling like a spider when you're not ready.
Suddenly appeared from behind a doorway again. You're right.
You're right. Over the top of the cubicle. You're
oh,
right.
Next
my
year,
word.
Next year in the urinal.
Yeah. Well, if you get a sail out of it.
Yeah.
Have a brilliant weekend at Thought Bubble. And if you want to record some audio and send it to us.
Yeah, we might well do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can put it in next week's show. So why don't you do that?
Yeah.
There you go. And to all you people who aren't at Thought Bubble, just have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. Like we're going to. And as always, stay fruity, and stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
Well, I'll do the intro.
Do you know recommend as well?
Yeah. Obviously, we can rattle through this bit now that we're.
Hi, Mr. Susan.
Do you watch the Mighty Boosh? Do you know who Mr. Susan is?
Which one? I do watch it. Which one?
I live in the land of mirrors. 16 mirrors in all. That one.
It's worth it just to hear you say that. It's amazing. Is that the one with the glitter balls?
Yeah, look at me. I spray them. Look at
see
me.
How they shine. See how they shine. Yeah.
We've got a bloke at work who talks a bit like that, so I call him Mr. Susan. Oh, all right, Mr. Susan.
Who is Mr. Susan? It's like that.
Bish, bosh, bosh.
Nice. Okay.
Mr. Susan.
Mr. Susan. I've got me spray them.
See how they shine.
There are 16 mirrors in the land of mirrors.
Oh, God.